The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here is a true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So as I say, you might like to keep that passage open, John chapter 1, verse 43. It's really an embarrassment of riches for our sermon today, hyperchoice. I think Jeremy is preaching on this gospel passage today in our 11 a.m. service under the heading, "Real Faith, Putting Your Trust in Jesus as God Made Man." And the diocese has also provided a sermon on this passage. If you go on the diocesan website, you can find the Bishop of Horsham preaching on this passage. I myself preached on it 3 years ago, I think, and you can find that on the Warbleton Church website. We saw there that Jesus calls us to follow him. Jesus calls you to follow him. I belong to a little preaching group of local ministers, and we meet once a quarter, and two people will preach their sermon, and then we all give some feedback, nicely, as you can imagine. Anyway, one of the preachers this time, we happen to have this group this week, and one of the preachers was preaching on this passage, which is our lectionary reading for this week, the gospel passage. And I thought his headings were so good that I get to steal them completely. He called his sermon, "Come and See," the words of the song that we would have listened to. And if you look back in your Bibles, you can find those words in the section before ours, in chapter 1 and verse 39. And then again in our own passage, in verse 46. So our first heading then, "Come and See." Come and see. Philip invites Nathanael to come and meet Jesus. We saw those words, "Come and see," back in verse 39, and this section is verses 43 to 47. So in verse 39 there, before our reading, we find that Andrew the fisherman, one of John the Baptist's disciples, and another man, approach Jesus and ask him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And Jesus says to him, "Come and see." Jesus' invitation is to come and see. He invites these ordinary people, these first disciples, and us, to come and see, to get to know him, to investigate him. Then the first thing that Andrew did, we're told, is that he went to find his brother Simon and to bring him to Jesus. And our passage today is similar. In our own text, Jesus calls Philip to follow him, and then Philip finds Nathanael and says to him, "Come and see. Come and see." And in a way, borrowing another Vicar's sermon headings is appropriate for this passage today, because one of the themes of our passage is disciples speaking to others about Jesus. In verse 45, Philip said to Nathanael about Jesus, "We have found the one whom Moses wrote about in the law." That word, "we have found," is the word from which we get our word, "Eureka!" You know that, is it Archimedes in his bath when he discovers displacement or something? I sort of googled that, but you know the story that he makes that great discovery and he cries out, "Eureka!" and leaps from his bath. "Eureka, I've got it! I've found it!" Philip has found it. He's made a life-changing discovery. Found Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the one the Bible had long promised. Here he is, at last. "Eureka! I found him. Jesus of Nazareth. Can you believe it? He, the son of Joseph, is the rescuer king we've been waiting for." And Philip naturally wants to share that knowledge. He has a discovery which is just too good to keep to himself. Philip has met the one who fulfills all the hopes of God's people, and so he longs for others to meet him too. That's the way with all true followers of Jesus. Followers of Jesus want others to become followers of Jesus too. Disciples of Jesus will seek to be disciple makers. We've got the best news in the world, and so we want to share it. Now, sometimes, admittedly, we find it a bit frightening and awkward to speak to others about Jesus. We realise that other people might not necessarily be as enthusiastic about him or as interested as we are, as indeed Nathanael isn't initially in our passage. But Philip shows that excitement in meeting Jesus and then speaking about him in a way which seems to come completely naturally. I mean, he's known Jesus for 5 minutes. He's never been to theological college, he's not ordained, and yet he just spontaneously shares about Jesus. Let's pray for ourselves and for others in our church, that we might recapture something of that spontaneous, natural desire to speak to others about Jesus. Often we see it in new converts, don't we? Maybe for some of us, our love and enthusiasm has grown cold, and we could do with a new infusion of the Spirit's power to help us speak of Jesus. Let's pray for that. Some of us are naturally like this, aren't we? If we discover a great film or TV show or book, or we have a fantastic meal in a restaurant, remember restaurants, we just want to tell others about it. "Hey, you'd love this great new author I found, or this wonderful little place. It was such a bargain, and the steak was fantastic." Well, how much more should it be like that with Jesus? You know, he is really, really wonderful and life-changing. So let's want to share him. Let's do that. You know, we can say to others, "You'd love this saviour I've come across," in effect. You know, no one should regret investigating Jesus. So why not encourage others to do so? Come and see. Give Jesus a try. What is there to lose? There's real power in this, "I have found, come and see," don't you think? Okay. People may argue against your faith, but in a way, personal experience is incontrovertible, isn't it? You know, if you can say to someone, "Well, I was diagnosed with cancer, and I don't know what you make about the claims of Jesus, but, you know, he helped me through it. It worked for me." Now, that's not the only thing to say about the Christian faith, of course, but it's a very important thing to say. We can at least say that. Powerful, isn't it? Sometimes you meet a Christian believer who's, you know, 95 or something, and they'll say, well, I've followed Jesus for 75 years, and I've often let him down, but he's never let me down. He's always been there for me. He's brought me through. I've been unfaithful, but he's been faithful. What in the language of Zion we would call personal testimony is powerful, isn't it? This is the kind of personal recommendation that brands love. You know, they would love their customers to get on Facebook or whatever and tell all their family and friends how amazing their new product is. Well, may it be so with Jesus and his followers. Let's spread the word. And notice, it's not just, oh, I found this great restaurant, would you like to go there one day? Why don't you go there? Rather, it's, come with me. Let's go together. And that's different, isn't it? We don't just say to people, well, here's some information, good luck, I hope you'll check out Jesus one day. We can say, we've tasted and seen that the Lord is good for ourselves. Why not come with us? We need to try and answer people's questions sometimes and deal with their objections. But above all, we want to introduce them to Jesus. We want them to meet Jesus in the scriptures. You know, some people love supermarket shopping, don't they? It's virtually my father's hobby in good times to go supermarket shopping. He'll go, you know, several times a week if he can. But I don't normally go. But in lockdown one, we couldn't get the delivery slots that we normally had. So once a week, I would go and get a sort of mountain of shopping for our family of six. And Mrs. Lloyd would love to set me obscure challenges. You know, she would want exotic things such as flour and pasta and loo roll, which of course were completely unavailable there. But she would also get me to scour the shelves week by week for particular items like dark brown muscovado sugar or large tubs of petit filou apricot yogurt. So I would, it was terrible. It was a one-way system, and I'd be roaming around like an idiot, trying to sort of peer behind people, you know, masks steamed up. So it was all quite awful. And eventually, I would, if I could find an assistant, you know, I might resort to saying, do you know where the dark brown muscovado sugar is? Sometimes they would say, well, it's halfway down aisle 4, past the milk, opposite the butter. Good luck. But much better when they said, come and see. Follow me. I'll show you. That was a wonderful relief, and it made it easy. Maybe that's what we could say to others. Come and see. Come with me. Maybe we could look at the Bible with someone, or get them a Christian book, or in better times, bring them to church, or to a group, or course, or event. And although in many ways, online church is pretty inadequate and poor, nowhere near as good as the real thing, it is at least very easy and convenient for many people, isn't it? You can join in often anonymously in your pajamas with a coffee from the sofa if you want to. The whole thing might take less than an hour. You don't have to venture out in the wind and rain or whatever. Maybe we could share a link with others, or invite our family and friends. Of course, people now can join in from anywhere in the world where there's a decent internet connection, isn't there? We can invite friends and family who live far away to come with us and to see. Local people are always welcome to our midweek Zoom meetings. If they've got any connection with the church here, we'd love to see them. And actually, in a few weeks' time, we're going to start a particular course, 3-2-1, The Story of God, the World, and You. You could Google 3-2-1 Gospel if you wanted to get an idea of it. It's three Wednesday evenings, and it begins on Wednesday the 24th of February. So it'd be great for all of us to have a refresher on the Gospel, but it's particularly designed to be accessible to those who are not yet Christians or committed church members. So why not plan to come yourself, and maybe think and pray now about who you could invite to come with you. That's the evening of Wednesday the 24th of February. So many online resources we could point others to, aren't there? So I've found Come and See. It's a great invitation, but Nathaniel takes some convincing. Philip says that Jesus of Nazareth is the fulfillment of the scriptures, verse 45, but look at Nathaniel's response in verse 46. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nazareth is this little obscure town up north. I'm not brave enough to suggest a contemporary equivalent, but maybe you would like to suggest in the comments, obscure northern towns out of which nothing good could possibly come. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nazareth never mentioned in the Old Testament. And so Nathaniel is initially dismissive. Jesus doesn't sound at all promising to him. And many people today think that, don't they? Nathaniel is a skeptic. He thinks he already knows. You might say he's prejudiced. And many people, of course, in Britain today think that they know Jesus and the Christian faith. And maybe they went to church once or twice as a kid, or there was some RE or school assemblies they vaguely remember, or they saw a program on the telly a while back. They think Jesus can be dismissed. Well, Come and See is a good invitation for them. And good on Nathaniel, because for all his, skepticism, rudeness, initial reluctance, he is willing to check out Jesus and to investigate him for himself. That's the kind of inquiry that we're asking for. Even if it's a bit grudging, will you take another look at Jesus? Have you seriously investigated Jesus for yourself as an adult? Or have you dismissed him, if you're honest, on the basis of hearsay and with a bit of prejudice? Come and see. And if you've come and seen, well, why not invite others to come and see with you? Well, that's our first point, come and see. And the next two points are much, much shorter, so we're nearly finished. Secondly, what does Nathaniel in fact see? Well, come and see the one who sees you. Come and see the one who sees you. Jesus knows the skeptic Nathaniel, and he wants to know him. This is verses 47 to 49. The good news is that Jesus welcomes skeptics. Verse 47. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he didn't say to him, you've been a bit rude about me in my hometown. No, he says, here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. Or in the Old Testament, in the Old Translation, one in whom there is no guile. Perhaps there's a contrast here with Israel, the father of the 12 tribes of Israel in the Old Testament, a.k.a. Jacob, whose name might mean deceiver. So Nathanael is a true Israelite. He's not like Israel, Jacob of old, who was a deceiver. He's honest, straightforward. He speaks his mind almost to a fault. Anyway, the crucial thing is that however grumpily, Nathanael is persuaded to come and take an honest look at Jesus. Nathanael asks Jesus how he knows him when they've never met in verse 48. And Jesus says that he saw Nathanael sitting under the fig tree. The fig tree can be a symbol for Israel, the people of God in the Old Testament. So Nathanael here is a kind of true or ideal Israelite. For all his skepticism and plain speaking and reluctance, he does what the nation of Israel should do. He comes to Jesus, the Jewish Messiah. Nathanael is like a fruitful version of the Israel fig tree. And so, verse 49, he recognizes Jesus as a rabbi, a teacher, and indeed as so much more than that, as the Son of God and the rightful King of Israel. Jesus seems to have supernatural knowledge here. He sees and knows Nathanael and calls him. And likewise, he sees and knows and calls us. Jesus is Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, as the Collect for Purity in the prayer book puts it. Nathanael could have said the words of our psalm to the Lord Jesus. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. All our dirty linen is visible to Jesus. We can't keep our skeletons in the cupboard, hidden from him. He knows and understands us through and through, and he calls us anyway. He knows us better than we know ourselves, and he wants us to know him. He would be our teacher. He would take us as his apprentices, his disciples, those who will learn from him and call others to follow him and join his team. Come and see Jesus, the one who sees you and knows you and calls you to follow him. And lastly, come and see even greater things. Jesus invites us to come and know him as the true Israel and the way to heaven, verses 50 and 51. We're not quite done with the Israel imagery, because Jesus promises Nathanael that he'll see even greater things than this supernatural knowledge. Jesus said to him, verse 51, I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. The Son of Man is the figure from Daniel chapter 7, verse 14, in the Old Testament, and it was Jesus' favourite way of referring to himself as the Son of Man, a human being who is given all authority and power and an eternal kingdom by God. And the reference here to the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man is to what we sometimes call Jacob's ladder. Jacob, Israel, of course. Jacob's ladder, Genesis 28. It's a place where Jacob lies down to sleep, and he has this vision and wrestles with God there, and sees this stairway to heaven. And he calls the place Bethel, the house of God, because he met with God there. It's like a place where heaven and earth met. Nathanael is the true Israelite, but Jesus here is the true Israel, the new and better Jacob. Jesus is the place where heaven and earth meet. He's the stairway to heaven, the way to heaven. It's not as if we have to climb up to heaven by our efforts, but that Jesus is God, heaven, come down to us. Later in the Gospel, he'll call himself the way to God, and the way to heaven. So we meet God not in a place, but in a person, in Jesus, the true Israel. And that's important, of course, for us at the moment, isn't it, when our church buildings are closed. We don't meet God in a temple or a church, but in Jesus. We encounter him in the pages of Scripture. Jesus is the place, the person, the new and better house of God, the new Bethel, the new temple, to whom we come to meet with God and to be put right with him. Jesus is the one and only way to God and to heaven. And what could be greater than that? Jesus knows us, but in Jesus we can know God. So come and see. Come and see Jesus. Come and see the one who sees you. Come and see, and you'll see even greater things than this. Jesus, the true Israel. Jesus, the way to God and to heaven. Come and see, and then invite others to come and see. Amen.